I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutin.
Welcome to Consider This. This is the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. UMNO President Zahid Hamidi today claimed that he had enough statutory declarations from his party's MPs withdrawing their support for Muhyiddin Yassin and the Perikatan National Government. So 11 MPs were present at the press conference earlier today, among them Azlina Uthman, Najib Razak, Tengku Razali, Ahmad Mazlan and Noor Omar. Supreme Council member Shamsul Anwar Nasarat had also resigned as the Energy and Natural Resources Minister. Now, at this point in time, it is unclear still who commands the support of 111 MPs, which is the minimum requirement to claim a majority. Now, how will these latest developments impact the already fractious dynamics within UMNO? Let's ask Dato' Ikwan Salim Suja, who is the chief of UMNO's Damansara division. Good evening, Dato' Ikwan. Now, your party president has come out to say this before. I mean, I think it was almost a month ago where he said there would be an immediate end of UMNO support for the Perikatan National Government. But nothing changed since then. I mean, the Attorney General said that the Prime Minister and Cabinet does not need to resign because there was no proof that Muhyiddin had lost the majority. I'm wondering how today's press conference whether or not today's press conference has actually deepened the split within UMNO, I mean, of those who support PN and those who don't.
Okay. Thank you very much for inviting me. But I'll start by this. I am definitely a party man. However, I have my views. And at the moment, what I see, if at the ground level, for example, in my own division, all divisions in UMNO are pretty much well established. We're doing our work. I can still call out 1,000 people very easily with just one phone call. We are able to deliver help and whatnot. That's all that at the ground level. But of course, the top level is confusing us terribly. That's what I want to say at the start. I believe at the moment, whilst we're in this pandemic, which is something we've never faced ever before, and people, the rakyat, is not impressed with regarding our politics day in, day out, endlessly, so to speak. Now, I believe we should stabilize a little bit, and this is where I think I don't agree with the fact that we should be breaking up at this very moment.
I think is there a danger, Dato' Ikwan, of a breakup? Is there a danger of UMNO breaking up?
Well, technically, I guess it's possible. But I hope not. I really hope not. Because here's a case where I think I'll be blunt here. I am in a division where there is no seat for UMNO. So I'm not worried whether I'm not out to try to become a YB or anything like that. I'm out to serve and help the people. That's what I've been doing, I hope. But the bottom line here, I have now to look forward for my party to re-strengthen ourselves. And we're in a situation where we have to be very fluid in our approach. But in the fluidity that I'm talking about, it has to be a positive approach rather than something that can break up or even change things altogether. Now, at this moment, if we look at the key players in the ministry, I think as ministers, the cabinet, we've been treated quite well, with the senior ministers are mainly coming from my party, and they are the one that's at the front in the TV, in the radio every day. Now, things are coming at least in terms of even vaccination program is working quite well, and I hope to see some changes, and I think that's already cases will drop. So we're doing
Dr. Ikwan, just sorry to interrupt you, but time is running short, and I'm just wondering how is it that UMNO does not support the Prime Minister but wants to remain in these ministerial positions? Is this UMNO's way of having their cake and eating it too?
Well, I'm a businessman, to be honest with you. And sometimes I liken this to a company where you may have differences of opinion with your managing director, your chairman, but you're on the board, And of course, that can happen. And why not? If it's good, as long as it doesn't become, negative to that extent, the company must proceed and run and continue to make profit. The question is, of course, you know, he's got a view and I have a different view of how to make more profit. But at the end of it, it is a question of making sure we are still running a company. And
is Amno culpable in the failures of this government?
Sorry, I didn't hear that.
Is Amno culpable in the failures of this government so far?
Well, I would say we certainly have done more effective work than I would say the other. I'm sorry to be blunt here, but that's how I feel. And we've been given the hard task of the difficult areas, and we've handled it well. It's been tough. Things could have changed, but of course we don't have the final say. The Prime Minister has the final say in many things. But I think under the circumstances, we're doing quite okay, in my opinion.
Okay, Dr. Ikwan, do you think that this government will be better off with an AMNO leader in charge, an AMNO Prime Minister with a clear sense of what needs to be achieved?
Oh, I think certainly, if we can achieve to be the Prime Minister and we treat the other side fairly as well, I think we will be able to be more effective, I think. Certainly so, because I think finally we have, what I say, we have established networks. And this is the feedback that's coming from the people at ground level. You know what I mean? So I certainly think so.
Can I ask you very quickly, who's driving the agenda now? Is it Zaid Hamidi? Is it Najib Razza? Who is behind this move?
I really can't say. And to be honest, I am personally confused totally. And I've said my piece in the past that, to me, we have, there should be changes, in my opinion. But I will respect the president as a president. However, I think he should be the one to decide what's best for the party. And in this particular case, I think he should think better.
Right. Dr. Ikwan, thank you for being on the show with us tonight and sharing AMNO's perspective. We appreciate it. That was Dr. Ikwan Salim Sujat, head of AMNO's Damansara Division. A quick break here and consider this, but don't go anywhere. We'll be back with more. Stay tuned. Hi, you're watching Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris. With me is Sharad Kutan. We're discussing Zaid Hamidi's stunning claim today that he has declarations from enough of the party's federal lawmakers withdrawing their support for the Prime Minister and his Perikatan National Government. Now, will AMNO's withdrawal of support for the Muhyiddin administration lead to a decisive change in government? Or has it merely caused more of a political stalemate for this impasse to deepen? Let's ask Dr. Bridget Welsh of the Asia Research Institute how she's making sense of these developments. Bridget, welcome back to the show. It's good to have you back. Now, I'm wondering, are we back in March of 2020 when Dr. Mahathir recognized that he no longer had the majority and resigned? Now, is this the same scenario?
Yes and no. Yes, in the sense that we do see the inter-elite negotiations that are taking place for potentially pushing out one of the leaders in office and a new government coming in. But no, in the sense that Malaysia is undergoing a very serious COVID-19 crisis. The population is fatigued. They're fed up with the population, the politicians, and there's not the sense of drama and attention to these political intrigues because people are trying to survive during a very serious crisis. And I think there's a certain degree of anger that this crisis is going on as opposed to focusing on the needs of everyday people to deal with the situation, the health and the economic crisis the country is facing.
Nevertheless, Bridget, you know, part of the solution, I guess, or part of the crisis this time has been the reluctance of the executive to allow Parliament to function as the Constitution deems it. And on that score, they found themselves up against the monarch. Is that the tipping point, do you think, in this crisis, the fact that Putrajaya came up against the palace?
I think it has been a tipping point for Muhyiddin. It may not necessarily be for his entire coalition, but I think in the way that the issues involving the emergency ordinances were handled really has put attention on Muhyiddin Yassin in terms of the relationship. And of course, he stood his ground. But at the same time, many of the people in the government have now, who have been talking over and over and over again that they might leave, have now seized this opportunity to make a show that they are no longer with this government. And that's why we saw, you know, the number of people at the press conference today and a resignation of a minister and claiming and showing that Muhyiddin Yassin no longer has a majority. But whether or not this evolves into a new government, as in a different type of government, that's still too early to see. But the issue also is whether or not it changes the leader. I think Muhyiddin Yassin is very much in the hot seat because he is seen as being responsible for provoking the monarchy and not responding appropriately in a way that people saw were expecting a bit more respect and right. A much more apology and upfront reaction.
Bridget, the use of the word opportunity is curious to me because I'm wondering whether UMNO used the constitutional crisis as an opportunity, as a means to their ends, that in that case, try a return, gunning for a return to a position of power.
I think this is one of the things that's going on. I think there are looking to be either a caretaker government or where they actually reach negotiations with current people in the PN government to have a change in roles, of which Muhyiddin Yassin no longer is the prime minister. The question becomes whether or not other people in the PN government will find this acceptable and whether or not there will be sources of instability that come from within the government in terms of the negotiation process. And also extremely important is whether or not the king will accept this and will support this, or whether or not they will allow this to evolve and move to Parliament, and they'll have the Parliament make the decision in terms of the vote. The key issue also is whether or not Muhyiddin Yassin continues to fight. We've seen over the whole period that he's refused to step down, and now the pressure has increased at a much higher level. And I think that he's facing much more pressure than he has before.
Bridget, what do you make of the central coalition partners that actually prop up what is a small party, Bersatu? We have GPS in Sarawak. We have even just two MPs who are now being told that they have to make a decision, either stay with PN or return to the bosom of BN.
Well, I think it's a mistake to push the Sabah and Sarawak parties. I think that they will want to make their decisions on their own terms, and I think they will also want to clearly negotiate for their positions within any new coalition arrangement. But I think that it's no question, given the fragmented process of the political parties, that we will see that the Borneo parties will be very pivotal in any sets of decisions. But the question will become whether or not it is in the negotiating process and a resolution is reached there or in the parliament.
Bridget, can I come back to the issue of UMNO? Just before we called you, we were speaking to an UMNO division head, and he said that, you know, while he supports the party, it's very confusing what's happening right now. And I'm just wondering whether today's announcement is actually a catalyst for a more formal split within the party. If the cabinet cluster does not agree to resign or to withdraw their support for this current government, will we see more fracture within UMNO?
Possibly. I think this is one of the aspects of the differences between wanting to stay with Muhyiddin and others. But I also think there's also contestation over the leadership of who should be leading any new government. Should it be someone like Ismail Sabri, Zungu Razali, Hishamuddin Hussein? Different contenders for power in their relative roles are also part of the divisions. But I think what is to happen today is qualitatively different than what we've seen so far, in that we saw the persons coming out themselves to show the numbers, number one. Number two, we see quite a few MPs from Pahang in particular who have been, who have very close relationships with the king coming out. We see, so it's not just a traditional court cluster around Zahid and others. It's also other MPs, as well as those around Tunku Razali, that were showing their support in this context. And I think as a consequence, there is a much more definitively role on UMNO that they're not willing to accept Muhyiddin Yassin's leadership compared to the past. So it's not the negotiation of trying to reach some sort of accommodation. A lot of that has eroded because of the way the constitutional crisis has played out. And while UMNO may use this as an opportunity, there are also serious public perceptions of the way the commentary and responses on the issues of the king. This, if Muhyiddin Yassin had apologized early on, this may not have been a crisis. In a sense, this is a crisis that Muhyiddin Yassin has made.
Thank Bridget, you so much, Bridget. You've got one more.
One last question, Bridget. We talk about Ismail Sabri coming to the fore, but he was silent during the constitutional crisis. He did not speak up. He did not correct Taqiyuddin. He did not correct the prime minister. In what way does he represent a reconciliation?
Well, he bridges the different factions in UMNO. He's also seen as consistency and stability, and from the perspective of that he's played a pivotal role in this government. And he may not have taken positions on the constitutional crisis, but he also was not seen to be directly connected in some of those decisions that were made by different players within the PN government. Therefore, he is one of those bridging figures in this particular relationship within the government.
Right. Thank you so much, Bridget, for joining us on the show tonight. Political analyst Bridget Welsh there. Let's take another quick break. Back with more. Stay tuned. Hi, thanks so much for staying with Shraddh and I on Consider This. University of Malaya's political analyst Dr. Hamidin Hamid joins us on the line now to share his views on the UMNO president's claim that she had enough declarations that show Prime Minister Muhyiddin Yassin has lost the majority. Hamidin, thank you so much for joining us on the show. My first question to you is it clear that Muhyiddin Yassin has lost the confidence of the majority of MPs?
Thank you, Melissa. Thank you for having me. Please hold your breath. I think we still have to wait because things are very fluid. Obviously, I think it's just an announcement by a president of a party. Obviously, this time, Zahir Hamidi showed that he's serious, and the seriousness of UMNO together with him when he made the declaration, 11 MP from UMNO, that I think is a big number in regard to majority loss for Tan Sri Muhyiddin. However, at the same time, we can see that many of others of MP from UMNO have been silenced until now, I think, as we speak. Nothing coming from Shamuddin, nothing coming from Ismail Sabri or any others, minister other than from Lenggong, who resigned before MKT made the decision. So with that, in my point of view, things are still very fluid. And obviously, Tan Sri Muhyiddin also will make a move to make sure that he secure, or at least to secure a majority at this particular moment.
Hamidin, do you think that, it is actually a difficult moment for Zahid because he has to admit he doesn't have full control of his party, that what he says is not the law for UMNO representatives in government or outside? it must be difficult for him to find the leverage in order to set the agenda for the government.
Yes, I think it is a very difficult task for Zahid. I mean, obviously, if you notice that a couple of statements of him lately from UMNO was being dismissed and also didn't give any bite in UMNO action. But this time, in my point of view, together with others, clearly, even though it's not a solid support to him, but at least I think it's a big chunk of support, around 11 officially so far, that together with him, obviously, can bring down the government. And with that, in my point of view, obviously, he is a confident and deliver the message this afternoon. But however, still, in my point of view, as I said, the loss of majority for Tan Sri Muhyiddin must be proved at this particular time, no parliament sitting. So it can be proved by way of Yang Di-Pertuan Agong to establish his confidence, who will be the next prime minister.
So is this the same scenario as March 2020? Are we back a year and a half?
Yeah, indeed, to some extent, yes, it is. It does depend on the Prime Minister. I think, interestingly, Melissa, I think tomorrow morning is traditionally is going to be a cabinet meeting, and normally the Prime Minister will have an audience with Yang Di-Tuan Agong before the cabinet. So everybody, I think, going to have a long sleep tonight.
Amitin, what about the question of UMNO's either traditional partners or current partners? We know PAS is going into a huddle. We know that Khalid Nordin has, you know, told MIC and MCA that they need to decide. They need to decide which side they stand.
Yes, obviously. This is the stand of UMNO. It's not a stand of Barisan Nasional yet. We're still waiting what is the stand of the Barisan Nasional. But I think for PAS, obviously, so far, I think it seems that they will stick with Tan Sri Muhyiddin. But as I said just now, things are very fluid. Let us see what's happened. I think the next 48 hours is very crucial for Tan Sri Muhyiddin to save his government.
Okay, I'm going to ask you to look into the crystal ball now, Hamidin. And what options lay in front of Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin? I mean, you say the next, a few days will be important. What can he do in the next few days?
I think at this particular time, is basically he must take the advantage of him being the Prime Minister and his accessibility to the Yang Di-Pertuan Agong. But please, at the same time, see the context of what happened in the relationship between government and the palace for the past couple of weeks, which I don't think is not that rosy. Because of that, I think some difficulty will be faced by Tan Sri Muhyiddin in regard to his relation with the palace. But I think he have the opportunity to table to the Yang Di-Pertuan Agong, showing a contrast to what Zahid claimed, that show that he have the majority of support among the members of the parliament.
Hamidin, do you think in many ways that this announcement came because Tan Sri Muhyiddin seemed to reach some sort of a conciliatory position with regard to the ordinance revocation issue, that by putting that out, it might have taken the wind out of the sail of this claim that the government is Dahaka, treasonous, and so somehow UMNO had to strike soon or lose that advantage?
I think, no, Shira, I think at this particular moment, is really very much a 101 of political studies. I think this is where UMNO show that they are what we call it, Machiavellian in that sense. They know how to kill when they need to do the killing. And obviously, when they saw that Tan Sri Muhyiddin is injured from multiple prongs, especially with the latest injury gained from their disagreement with the palace, I think UMNO strike. And so far, I think giving advantage to UMNO is their strike. So it shows that it's very difficult for Tan Sri Muhyiddin to come out clean from this strike.
Thank you so much. That was political analyst Dr. Hamidin Hamid wrapping up this episode of Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutin. I guess we're done tonight, Melissa.
Yes, we are signing up for this evening. Thank you so much for watching the show. Good night.